This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. The intention today is to start the series of the laws of victory. But every time I intend to start it, I find it extremely difficult to talk about anything aside from what it is that we have been talking about for the last 2 months or more. I'm just awed by the amount of power that they must have in order for even the MPs of a country. I love my country, by the way. I love Canada. I'm a fourth, fifth generation Canadian, easily, on my mother's side. But come on, we're not that impactful on a global scale. We don't have that much impact. We've always been quite friendly and quiet. But for even local MPs and mayors to find it difficult You just ask for a ceasefire. I'm not saying that they condemn evil or condemn persecution or oppression or apartheid or racism. We're just saying, can you maybe just ask for people to stop being killed uselessly and they can't even do that. So I'm awed by the amount of power that the other group must have over people like this. It blows my mind. How powerful are you? How far do your tentacles go into every political system on earth in order for it to be difficult for a political servant, for a public servant, to just say that? Can you stop killing innocent human beings? I am awed by it. I understand how the President of the United States and the larger groups and I understand the imperial forces, those who represent them, is difficult. They can't do it. But I don't understand something on a much more local level. That is kind of weird to me. That's how far this goes. That's how deep this runs. That we can't get even that. That we have to beg. We're constituents of these public servants. We have to beg. We have to protest week after week for 60 days just to get them to say, can you ask? Can you ask? We know you don't control anything. We know you have no control or authority. Can you at least just publicly state that it's important for them to stop killing civilians? No. That's an uphill battle. That's an uphill battle. Imagine that. Imagine that you have people representing you. And you make it very clear that the public opinion is that there should be a stop of bloodshed. And they still can't do it. They can't do it. What are you scared of? What are you scared of? I want to know what it is that you're feeling. Now I'm interested. Now I'm actually more interested than anything. I need you to explain to me, what is it that you fear so much? Could it be you're scared for your wealth? Is it your job? Is it money? Could it be that's what it is? Maybe that's what it is. I always thought that to some degree, human integrity would prevail over the need for wealth. That there'd be a line or there'd be a point where money stopped mattering, especially when you're looking at thousands of children being buried under the rubble of their own homes, hospitals being destroyed and people being slaughtered aimlessly. You would think at some point, yeah, we would give up that fear that we have for our own comfort. But apparently not. Or maybe there's more to this story than I am even aware of. Let me explain to you why I'm going to go through the series of Surat Al-Anfal in the midst of all of this agony and sorrow and pain. Not to distract from the cause that we are preoccupied by, and we should continue to be preoccupied by until it stops, quite frankly. And whatever advocacy you are required to show, you show. I believe that maybe that week that we had off was actually offered in by design to see if maybe people forget, because we have a very short-term memory and we do end up getting bored of talking about the same topic. So maybe if we give some time off and they can all relax, maybe when we go back again, there'll be less of a reason for them to be upset. Maybe there'll be less momentum. People will kind of get too busy and have other things to do. And I think that's where the pitfall of this whole story is going to lie, that we need to not only continue to advocate, but we have to go back advocating actually much more intensely than we were at the beginning of this whole story. And that's why I'm going to share with you what Surat Al-Anfal teaches. If you look at the Quran and the way that is sequenced, not the way it was revealed, but the way it was chronologically sequenced in the book, you find that the first 10 juz are made out of only 9 surahs. Most of them, 7 of them are called the Sab' al-Tiwal, the 7 long ones, because they're all over a juz easily. The shortest being Surat At-Tawbah, the last one is a juz and a page. Everything else is much more than that. In the midst of them, in the middle of these surahs, you have Surat Al-Anfal. It's 10 pages. It's half a juz, literally half a juz. It does not, in terms of its length, it doesn't fit with all those around it. Everything is way longer. Actually, there's surahs that are much longer that come later on in the Quran. So from a length perspective, the Quran is just being sequenced by length. Well, Surat Al-Anfal doesn't really fit. But it's not sequenced by length. It's sequenced by topic. And after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the first 7 surahs of the Quran explains what it is we are here to do, how we're going to maintain it, what values we carry, what covenants we sign, what relationships we have on an individual level with Allah and on a communal level with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the first seven. In Surah Al-Anfal, he comes, he gives us laws. Here are the laws for your success. Only in Surah Al-Tawbah to explain, here's how you maintain your nation. Here's the relationships you have with all the people within your nation, outside of your nation, and how you make sure that you continue to keep your heads above water. Surah Al-Anfal is short because it's laws. Nobody likes long documents talking about laws or rules because people get bored of that. So a surah is going to give us laws, and it has to be shorter than everything around it, which is in keeping with what the surah is trying to teach. And this is what the name that most scholars give the surah, the laws of success, or Qawaneen al-Nasr. And it goes through a number of topics. I'm going to share a number of them with you over the next couple of weeks. But the first one is a little bit related to what I was talking about initially. Maybe it's wealth, maybe it's money. Maybe the reason people don't speak the truth, maybe they don't change their minds or do some research or look back, maybe it's wealth, maybe it's money. It probably is, quite frankly. This surah that talks about the laws of victory or the laws of success is called Al-Anfal. Al-Anfal. Al-Anfal is a word that is used to describe the bounty of war, or what it is you get back, the loot that you end up picking up. It's one of the names that is used, Al-Anfal. And then you have under Anfal, you have the word Maghnam, you have the word Fate, different words to describe different types of wealth that is taken after battle. But the origin of the word Anfal is from Nafil. And as you probably have heard the word before, when you pray a Fard, and you pray a Nafila. Because the word Nafil or Nafil in its essence means something that's extra. Something that you don't necessarily need. Something that is not required 100%. Al-Fard is required, you must do it. Nafila is something that you do that's extra. Al-Anfal is used to describe wealth that you don't necessarily need. It's not to keep you alive. It's just extra that you get from being a part of this army or engaging or participating in whatever conquest was occurring. So it's extra. The surah is named that because the number one problem, because Surah Al-Anfal doesn't just talk about, when it talks about the laws of victory, it's not just telling us what to do. No, the Quran is very interested in telling us what not to do, because that's where the danger actually exists. It's not, there's a lot of good things you can do, but you have to be aware of the things that you absolutely cannot do, and it will for sure sink your ship and ruin your plans and take away your ability to achieve whatever it is you were aspiring to. And it's called Al-Anfal, because that's where the danger truly, truly lies. Let me tell you a little bit about the story that caused this to be revealed. Ubadah ibn Samit, and you find this story in Sirat ibn Ishaq and ibn Hisham and others as well. He said, نَزَلَ سُورَةُ الْأَنْفَالِ فِينَا مَعْشَرَ بَدْرُ وَمَعْشَرَ أَهْلِ بَدْرُ لَمَّا حَضَرَتْ الْغَنَائِمْ فَسَاءَتْ فِيهَا أَخْلَاقُنَا. That's what he said, radiallahu anhu. He said that this story of Al-Anfal, the surah was revealed after the Battle of Badr. When we, the people of Badr, saw the bounty of the war, the caravan that was captured, or what was captured aside from that or around that, and sa'at fihi akhlaquna, our ethics, our behaviors were not great. This is Ubadah ibn Samit admitting we weren't the best when we behaved, how we behaved regarding that. Hadith in Imam Tirmidhi, where Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, the known Sahabi, would bring to the Prophet والسلام, Saif Sa'id ibn al-As. It's a known story in the collection. He would bring Saif Sa'id ibn al-As. He brought with him a sword, a very famous sword that he had picked up during the battle, who belonged to a man called Sa'id ibn al-As, and it was a famous sword, and he had won the duel, and he wanted the sword. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ سَيْفْ سَعِيدَ بْنِ الْعَاصِ أَخَذْتُهُ مِنَ الْقَبَضِ. I brought it with me from the, because I did this. فَقَالَ رُدَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ وَجَدْتَهُ. Take it back to where you brought it from. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هُوَ لِي أَنَا قَاتَلْتُهُ. No, it's mine. I fought him. قَالَ رُدَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخَذْتَهُ. Take it back to where you brought it from. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هِبْهُ لِي هَبْهُ لِي. At least we'll offer it to me. فَقَالَ لِي رُدَّهُ إِلَى الْقَبَضِ. He get back to where you were supposed to. Three times he had to tell him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قَالَ فَأَخَذَهُ سَعْدٍ. And Sa'd took it back. He didn't say no. But there was something there. There was something going on. That materialism piece. That materialism piece. You want to ruin anything? You bring materialism and put it in the middle of it and just watch. Just take a step back and watch. Get them interested in money. Get them interested in profit. And then watch. This is not just how you ruin a communal aspiration. This is not how you ruin social work. This is how you ruin individuals. When I ruin people, get them more interested in money than they were before. And this will happen. These words I'm going to share are for the younger brothers and sisters. If you're older, you can feel free to ignore them. You see how you're young now and you don't really think too much about money. Like, it's not the first thing on your mind. It's not number one. You're thinking about studies. You're thinking about other, about sports. You're thinking about building relationships. You have all these other things on your mind. Money is there. You just need enough of it to get by. You're not really focusing on making a lot of money. See, that ends up, if you're not careful, that changes. If you're not careful, that changes. If you're not very aware of it, slowly, it goes away. And you start focusing more and more on your comfort, on your leisure. And you start needing and wanting a little bit more than you ever needed or wanted before. And then the baseline of what you require to survive is now much higher than it was before. You don't really know why anymore, because you can't see that there was much of a difference. Maybe you're married, now you have some kids. But the change is too big for it to be explained just by the addition of a few human beings. But slowly, if you're not careful, if you're not cautious, you start indulging in certain habits that cost money, and they become norms for you, and you're not okay living without them. And then because now you have all these habits that require money and all these leisures that you want to enjoy and indulge in, and they cost money, you need to make a certain standard of wealth. And that takes a certain amount of time and expertise. And you need job security in order for that to be the case. And slowly but surely, your focus becomes on making sure that you can keep that amount of wealth with you so that you can enjoy the stuff that you've decided are essential for you. And you don't have time anymore to volunteer or to worry about what's happening in the world or to actually attribute or contribute in a way that you were able to contribute before. And it's a whirlhole. It's a vortex of you just continuously wanting more, needing more, doing more, making more, and then doing the same. Don't you wonder why that people who make money in numbers that maybe most of us can't even comprehend, when we talk about the millions and the billions, and we say, why would you even need all that money? What are you going to do with all of it? But when you speak to them, they actually have a very different concept. They see themselves barely making it. They're very upset if they're not actually going on more, because it's just about the standard of life that you decide to live by. It's all about whatever standard of life you give yourself, what your expectations of dunya is. That's all it is. That's all this is about. Be very careful about al-anfal, about the extra wealth that you don't need. Be careful. It was almost ruined the ajr of the people of Badr, which is why the surah is named that, which is why it's the first thing told in the surah before he even tells us the story of the people of Badr. He talks about al-anfal. You almost ruined it. You almost ruined the amazing achievement. What is more important in the history of Muslims aside from the day of Badr? Is there anything, nothing comes even remotely close? Yawm al-Furqan, Yawm al-Taqa al-Jam'an. That's the day. The people of Badr are the ones who have a out of jail card. They can do almost anything they want, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive them. An amazing achievement, accomplishment, something. But still, they almost ruined it with a little bit of greed. And they're obvious, honestly, they were well within their rights to want a little bit more, because they had almost nothing. Because they almost had nothing. In today's standards, they had nothing. They were under the line of poverty, for sure, all of them. Sa'd, who was asking for the sword, was under the line of poverty, for sure. For sure, he wasn't able to make ends meet. And yet, the Quran says, you're talking about al-anfal. Al-anfalu lillahi wa rasul. It belongs to Allah and His Prophet, and will be distributed accordingly. Fattaqullah. So make sure you are mindful of your Lord. وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ And go deep, dig deep inside and take a look at yourself again. And make sure that you purify that which is inside of you and that which is amongst you as relationships. This is the advice that they're being offered. Be very careful. Be very aware of this pitfall, which is just wanting more. Imam Ahmad tells us that the Prophet ﷺ would tell Abu Huraira, مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَكِنْ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ It's not poverty that I fear for you. I fear for you wanting more. Takathur. You know the surah? Al-Hakum with Takathur. What is Takathur? Having children? That's what you find in a biology book if you study in the Middle East. But that's not what it means linguistically. Takathur means the need or the desire for more. I want more. I have this, but I want more. The distinction between what you require and what you want. I talk about this every year before Ramadan. Every year before Ramadan, I stand here and I tell you, Ramadan is here to teach us and remind us what we want and what we need are not the same thing. They're not. You can survive on much less than what you have today, easily, and you can be happy, unless you choose not to. Unless you choose that I deserve more, and I will not accept a standard less than the one I live in right now, and I will spend whatever time that I'm awake to make sure that I can provide that standard for myself when that standard is not even reasonable, when that standard is not even beneficial for us or for those around us. And that's the problem. Beware, my young brothers and sisters, of money, of the lure of money just slowly calling you in, and then trapping in this whirlhole of just wanting more and making more and wanting more and needing more. And then you're talking, I spend time with people who are wealthy. I spend time with people who have money. They talk about their trips and where they went before and when they were going next. And what they talk about money. It's all money. It's all what they have and what they're going to go and what they did and what they experienced. It's all based on wealth. It's very little talk on what that wealth could do. This khutbah is not designed to tell you to be poor. No. It's the opposite. We actually need you to be wealthy. The concept of materialism in Surah Al-Anfal is talked about in two separate manners. It's talked about in the sense of do not be materialistic, and then it's talked about what do you do with your money. That's what you find in the surah. وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا غَنِمْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَّ لِلَّهِ خُمُسَهُ وَلِلرَّسُولِ. This is what you do with the wealth. وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. In the same surah, يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And that which you put forward from your wealth for the sake of Allah, you will not be deprived the ajr and the reward that you will get on the day of judgment from doing that. So it's talked about in two separate ways. Don't be materialistic and make sure your wealth is used appropriately. So we need you to make a lot of money. As much money as you can make, but then that money has to be something that you own. It doesn't own you. You own it. So you will use it in the way that you see fit, that you know is beneficial for the ummah that you're a part of, for the needs of the people around you. No one's saying that. It's called anfal. It's not called money, the surah. Because the problem is not with money. Of course you need wealth. It's called anfal, the extra. The stuff that you didn't necessarily need. You wanted, but you didn't need it. You could have easily walked away from this not requiring a why did you want it? Why did you feel that urge to go and take something that you didn't really need? And I don't understand that in the Quran because I know they were in need. It's very hard because I know the Sahaba at that time were in dire need. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines their situation as not being in need, I do not know how He defines ours. If he defines the way Sa'd and Sa'id and Zubayr and Talha and Ali were at that time saying, you're not in need, this is anfal, this is extra, stop fighting for it, then I have no idea what he says when he looks at us, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I really don't. I can't comprehend it. I can't make the comparison. Because I can take you to my house. There's enough food for a month. It's not my comfort food. It's not the stuff that I like. It's not the stuff that I desire when I wake up in the morning, but it's food. And it'll keep me alive for sure. It's not exactly what I want. It's not the exact thing that I desire, but it'll do. Same thing my house, same thing my car, same thing everything I got. It does the job. It's not exactly what I would hope for.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ.
That's what he said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, right at the beginning. And then he actually goes on and describes believers.
إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Exclusively the believers, the ones who when they are reminded of their Lord, their hearts shiver. And when the verses are recited upon them, they increase in their iman and they are fully dependent on their Lord. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. The ones who establish their prayer and then they whatever we provide them with, they spend. Whatever we provide them with, they spend for the sake of Allah.
أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. Those are the true believers.
لَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ وَرِزْقٌ كَرِيمٌ.
They have high levels in the eyes of their Lord and they will be given a beautiful provision on the Day of Judgment.
أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ.
الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، سلسلة الخطب التي سأشرع
حديثي عنها عن قوانين النصر، وهي مأخوذة من سورة الأنفال التي سماها العلماء سورة قوانين النصر، وهي تسمية قديمة لما فيها من كلام الله سبحانه وتعالى عن أحوال أهل بدر، نقد لما قاموا لما كان من الواجب ألا يقوموا به، ومدح لما قاموا به من الخير، وحديث عن احتياجات هذه الأمة في وهي تحاول أن تقوم مرة أخرى أو تقف على رجليها. أمة يؤسفنا جميعا أن نراها في الحال التي هي عليها اليوم، أمة عظيمة، تاريخ مجيد، تاريخ مجيد وأسماء عظيمة جدا موجودة في هذا التاريخ وفي هذا الدين الحنيف. يؤلمنا كمسلمين أن نرى هذا الضعف الذي اعترانا، هذه الذلة التي كستنا. يؤلمنا جميعا أن نحيا في هذا الزمان والمسلمون أضعف أهل الأرض، وقد خنعوا خنوعا لا يكاد نرى له مثيلا إلا ما حدث أيام المغول، إذ أعداؤنا يدفنون أولادنا وأطفالنا وإخواننا وأخواتنا تحت ركام بيوتهم، والناس يتفرجون يتحدثون عن احتمالات الهدنة واحتمالات التخفيف وإدخال المساعدات. لماذا تدخل مساعدات وأنت قادر على إيقاف ما ينزل على رؤوسهم؟ لكن هذا هو الزمان الذي خلقنا فيه، ونعيب زماننا والعيب فينا. فعلى كل واحد منا أن ينظر في نفسه وفي قدرته وفيما يقدمه من أجل الله سبحانه وتعالى. وأول ما تتحدث عنه هذه السورة العظيمة تتحدث عن الأنفال، والنافلة هي الزيادة، هو الشيء الزائد. وحديث الأنفال عن أحوال أهل بدر بعدها، إذ طمعوا في المال، دخلهم الطمع في المال، أرادوا الأنفال، أرادوا المغانم التي لم تكن لهم، على فقرهم وعلى احتياجهم رأى الله سبحانه وتعالى أنه لم يكن ينبغي لهم أن يطمعوا في الأنفال، وأن عليهم أن يتقوه وأن يصلحوا ذات بينهم. فما يقول سبحانه وتعالى عن أحوالنا إذا كان سعد بن أبي وقاص لا يجد المأوى الذي يسكن فيه، يسكن عند رجل من الأنصار في غرفة لا زوجة له ولا أولاد، أراد من المغانم سيفا، كان قد قتل صاحبه في المعركة فحرم منه، وقيل له اتق الله فاتق الله، وقيل له أصلح ذات بينك فأصلح ذات بينه. مما ورد في حديث الإمام أحمد والترمذي أن سعد بن أبي وقاص، وهو يعني وله وجود في هذه القصة والخطبة اليوم، أتى مع عبد الله بن مسعود إلى سلمان الفارسي، وسلمان رضي الله عنه على فراش موته يبكي، يقولون ما يبكيك يا سلمان؟ فقال أبكي على عهد عاهدناه رسول الله ثم ضيعناه. فقال وما ذاك؟ قال يكفي أحدكم مثل زاد الراكب، ليكن بلاغ أحدكم مثل زاد الراكب، ولا أرى أنني فعلت ذلك. فيا سعد اتق الله في حكمك إذا حكمت وفي قسمك إذا قسمت. فبكوا ثلاثتهم، ثم مات سعد ولم يترك إلا دراهم صغيرة قليلة في بيته. يقول أبو العتاهية فبادر إذا كنت ذا مال فبادر به الذي يحق، وإلا استهلكته مهالكه. ألا إنما مالي الذي أنا منفق، وليس لي المال الذي أنا تاركه. إذا كنت ذا عقل فأعتق من المال نفسك، فأعتق من المال نفسك، وإلا تملكك المال الذي أنت مالكه.
Brothers and sisters, what I want to end with, Rafa alayhi salatu wasalam, in a known story called the story of Mal al-Bahrain, he sent Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu to pick up some wealth that was being brought from a certain part of Eastern Arabia. And he came, and the Ansar, who were extremely, extremely poor, came to him alayhi salatu wasalam, and they prayed Fajr, and they stood around after Fajr, just quietly, just stood in a group. He saw them alayhi salatu wasalam, he understood what was happening. He came to the hadith in Bukhari. So he comes to the maqala, لعلكم سمعتم بعودة أبي عبيدة بمال البحرين. Maybe you heard that Abu Ubaidah came back with the money from Bahrain. فقالوا نعم يا رسول الله. Yes, we heard. But they were too bashful to come and ask him. فقال أبشروا وأملوا بالذي يسركم. I want to give you the good news of what's coming is going to be beautiful for you, and you'll be happy. وإني والله لا أخشى عليكم الفقر. And I don't fear that you will continue to live in poverty. ولكن أخشى عليكم الدنيا أن تبسط عليكم كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم فتلهيكم كما ألهتهم وتهلككم كما أهلكتهم.
My fear for you is that dunya is given to you, it's opened, you have a lot of it, and then it distracts you, like it distracted the people who came before you, and then it's your demise. It becomes your demise as it was the demise of the people before you. This concept is central within our deen. Beware of being materialistic. Beware of allowing your nafs to take on all of that which it desires and wants. Because there's no end. It's a black hole. No matter how much wealth you throw into it, it will absorb and devour more. And the more you give, the more it will take, and the higher the standard, and the more the work, and the less time, and the less care that you have to the people around you. And Muslims do not allow that to be the case. We are not told to be poor. We are told to be generous. We are told to use from dunya, as the Prophet ﷺ told the Sahaba, مِثِلْ زَادِ الرَّاكِبِ. That's the wording he used. Take the provision of a traveler. You're on a journey. How much do you need to get to your destination? Take from dunya that much. Do not take from dunya anymore. If our ummah wants to find salvation, if we hope to see change, we have to start putting our money where our mouths are. We have to start actually putting our wealth. This is not me standing here begging you for wealth for masajid. Even though if you don't give masajid money, they close eventually. They don't exist anymore. So it is up to you at the end. But here is me saying that if you want to see change in your ummah, wealth is a piece of that. If we fight over al-anfal, if we are still looking for the extra, we want as much of it as possible, and we have not dealt with the desires and the whims of our souls and removed what it is that needs to be removed from inside of us, then our ummah will continue to suffer, because we have to put our wealth into the projects that are going to allow us to find some degree of strength, of prominence, of the ability to make sure our voices arrive where they need to arrive. I talked about this right after Ramadan last year. I talked about financial centralization as something that every community needs in order for it to be a community and not a population. We need to make sure that we manage our wealth well as Muslims, so that we can get our voice out, so we can make sure representatives are actually representing us, so that we can actually speak our minds, so that Muslims are protected when it comes to their jobs, so that we can actually help the people who are suffering. Because individual-based initiatives are nice, but they don't go very far. We have so many organizations that Muslim organizations with pathetic budgets. When you look at the NCCM or even Hikmah locally, pathetic budgets. They have no one gives them money. And we expect them to advocate on our behalf. We expect them to make it somehow to the ears of the politicians and actually make a difference, but we're not willing to put our money. We want to go to masajid and be served and find education for our children and for ourselves and space, but no money. We don't want to put our money. If you don't put money, I mean, nothing happens. It burns out quickly. It burns out quickly. The flames that you see will burn out if you don't put your wealth. If you want the people of Gaza to make it better, let's say we're all giving money today to make sure that we help them. But if you don't want this to happen again, if you want to be able to prevent this from occurring, we have to have more strength within the countries that we live in. As Muslims, as minority communities living in the Western world, we have to have more strength. And without wealth, there is no strength. Without wealth, without properly managed wealth, I'll put it that way. Without properly managed wealth, there is no strength. We will continue to suffer and we'll continue to fail. And guys like me will continue to get on this minbar and yell at you for 30 minutes and then come down, praise your mind, everyone goes home and rinse and repeat. And rinse and repeat time and time again until people get bored of coming to masajid and listening to people talk to them about no, and with no change, with no implementation of any form of change. Wealth has to be, we need to properly manage our wealth in our community. And we have to give up this materialistic approach. Muslims have to go back to the way their ancestors were. We have to go back to that. We have to go back, go home today and question your standard of life. Question it. Question what we're doing. Can we live on less? Can we make sure that we put more of our wealth into our community so that we can actually have a voice and make a difference? And that's the first law of victory in Surah Al-Anfal. If that law is not followed, I don't even know if there's any point of me sharing the rest of them with you. I don't know if it's worth going through the rest of the laws that the surah talks about. I feel like it'll be a bit of a waste of time, because the surah was named after this one. It was named after this one. Al-Anfal. The extra. The stuff you don't need, but you want.
I hope that was a benefit to you. There's a number of different initiatives this week, inshallah, Brother Hamu. We'll share them with you after prayer, so hold on for a moment so you can hear them. There's a lot of advocacy going on. People must continue to support. We are very blessed today to have one of our families come back from Gaza, the Ghouta family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve them all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the family members whom they have left behind. One of the brothers, Brother Ahmed, who's a nurse who was working in one of the hospitals, is still trapped in the northern part of Gaza. So keep him in your dua and make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a way out to safely come back to us, inshallah ta'ala. And this is just to increase the pain and to increase... Yeah, and to remind us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them, but for us to remind us that this is not over yet. And even if there is a ceasefire, even if it stops temporarily or even for a longer period of time, this is not over. It's not over until the rights are returned to those who are oppressed and those who are persecuted. And that has to be on our radar for the rest of our existence. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معه برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين اللهم انصر إخواننا المرابطين في المسجد الأقصى ورده إلينا في العاجل القريب يا رب العالمين وارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا وعن أهلنا في فلسطين وفرج همومهم واحقن دماءهم يا رب العالمين وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا من أبدا لا إله إلا الله